Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this Friday show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. You want to join the show, the adventure, the talk? Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, send us your emails. We've been getting them on the air lately at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. And tweet at us. You know, we do the Twitter at Ray and Tay Today. Facebook us and check out our website. Very interactive, a lot of fun, rayandtaytoday.com. Got a good show, Ray. Are you ready? Because I might have to trade you to talk some MLB trading.
Where are you trading me? Where are you trading me?
I'm going to trade you from the Cowboy and Jet fan and Charger fan to how about Steelers, Packers, and Jaguars.
I reject that trade. That's on no trade clause. But we'll get to football eventually. And we
yes,
had
we
a
will.
Great
Hall of
episode
Fame weekend.
Talking fantasy football last time.
Oh, that was awesome. A lot of emails from that. People loved it, Ray.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. We had a great time doing it, and we'll get you ready for fantasy. So don't worry if you're in multiple fantasy leagues. We'll talk about that. We still have time. We still have about a month before fantasy. But we need to jump right into baseball because there was some wheeling and dealing. I don't remember a trade deadline where so many people got traded and two aces got traded within minutes of each other. It's like an arms race in the AL Central and the AL West. So let's jump right in.
Well, I guess the first thing to me that I thought was the most fascinating about it all was we knew that there was murmurs and stuff like that, and this, you know, Red Sox talking about Lester. I was shocked that they moved Lester and Lackey and then Drew. But David Price, when I heard that the Tigers were interested, Ray, I'm thinking, what are they going to give him? And to bring in that third team, that was fascinating. But I think the Rays, if we're being honest, I don't think the Rays got enough for David Price. So why don't you break down some of the trades, and then we can analyze the big three or four of them. Obviously, David Price today is a Detroit Tiger.
Yeah, so we'll analyze that in a sec. But Price goes to the Tigers. So let's talk about the playoffs. So in the playoff, it goes to the Tigers. And then, like you said, Lester goes to the A's for Yoenis Cespedes.
Yeah, and they get Johnny Gomes.
And they get Johnny Gomes, right. So they get much worse in outfield defense, but they got much better in pitching. So we'll talk about that. Our Yankees were very active at the trade deadline.
Good move.
Picking up Martin Prado. They picked up Chase Hidley a few weeks ago. So you have basically a whole new infield going on there. Yankees made multiple moves, right?
And then got Drew.
And they got the last time the Yankees and the Red Sox made a trade was some 19 years ago. So Yankees and Red Sox making a trade. So Steven Drew, who never really settled in Boston, is coming to the Yankees, and the Yankees have an option on him for next year to be the replacement for Derek Jeter. He's still relatively young, so Yankees have a little bit of runway potentially at shortstop. We'll talk about that. We've got the Cubs trading Emilio Bonifacio. We've got a bunch of little to the Braves, for sure. We've got a bunch of minor trades, and then we got a bunch of teams that didn't do much. So we need to talk about that. After we analyze the trades that were made, we need to talk about the teams that didn't do that much. You've got a Yoel Cabrera also going from the Indians to the Nationals. He's going to come over and play second base. So even though he's a natural shortstop, it's not that hard a transition to go to second. The underachieving Nationals, I will say, because they were my pick to go to the World Series this year.
Still got playoff hopes alive, though. And don't forget the Brewers made a move. Who did the Brewers get? They got somebody, too. I like what the Brewers did. I'm drawing a blank here. But the Brewers got somebody from, no, not the Cubs. Who did the Brewers pick up?
I'll have to check. There's so many, it's like got blown away. Oh, and obviously the Red Sox, yeah, the Red Sox made the three trades. We didn't say who was on the other end of the trade. So the Red Sox obviously sent Lackey
to the Cardinals.
Yeah, Cardinals made some with Justin Masterson. I mean, you don't even know where to start. The trade deadline and everybody threw something against the wall and basically let's see if it sticks. So let's go one by one. Let's talk about David Price going to the Detroit Tigers. First of all, did the Rays get enough? You think no, I agree with that. Let's talk about the Tiger end of the deal. Who they might lose Max Scherzer next year. They're probably going to lose Max Scherzer. If you turn down 7 years at $24 million a year, you're probably not going back to that team, right? You want to make
and that's okay if you bring Price in, right, and pay him.
So exactly.
But they have five solid starters.
Right. Rick Porcello, it's funny because Rick Porcello at number four is actually pitching better than their stud, Verlander.
Verlander
is their number five pitcher right now. So,
and I just picked that guy up in fantasy baseball. He's got 12 wins, right, for the Tigers.
Oh, yeah. And they also have an option on David Price for next year. So if they pick up David Price's option, they don't even have to worry about David Price leaving. They can have him for a year and a half and then work on a long-term extension for him.
Right. And Austin Jackson, where did he go? He went to the third team.
Yeah, he was part of the third team in that whole and that's what they needed, actually. That deal was rumored for a while, and they needed that third team to come in and pick up Austin Jackson, who, frankly, he was a Yankees top prospect for years.
Yes,
and he's been traded twice now, and I got to tell you, I'm a little disappointed in Austin Jackson in real baseball and in fantasy baseball. I've had Austin Jackson on my team for a couple of years.
Well, he's never quite stepped up. He's not a clutch hitter, strikes out a lot. So you got different things going on with him. Basically, let me ask you, so they didn't get enough, but for, let's say, the Rays, but let's focus on the Tigers. Is that the best staff in baseball, or at least definitely now top three with the A's and the Dodgers? And
Clayton Kershaw keeps pitching great. I mean, this guy might be worth $40 million a year.
That's a whole other thing. What Kershaw's doing.
He's unbelievable.
Oh, he's insane.
But I do
right.
believe that the Tiger rotation is really unstoppable. I mean, if you think about it, if you go into a playoff matchup and you want to go with three starters, or they almost have to go with four, but who do you sit? I mean, you can go into a playoff series with Max Scherzer as your number one, David Price as your number two, Aníbal Sanchez is your number three, and by the way, Justin Verlander is your number four, and then Rick Porcello, who's been pitching great, is your long reliever.
Well, that's awesome, right? To have a great starter as a long reliever in the bullpen, that is, you talk about strength. I think the Tigers, and let's not forget the trade that they did with the Brewers, with the Rangers, getting Kinsler. He's been good this year. And then, of course, the Prince, fielder, just injured and, nothing. So the Tigers, I think, are gearing up really good and are probably going to definitely get that division. And, look, they've been wanting to win the series for years now. And it's sort of make or break, so give them credit. Let's go to the A's, give them credit. Billy Beane's like, hey, we've been close. We've been losing in the playoffs the last couple of years. Let's go for it. So they made the trade, about a month ago and got,
Samardzija. They got Hamill and Samardzija now.
They already had
Lester. So in a month, Billy Beane has really put his chips in, and maybe Moneyball's out the window for this season. He wants to win.
Yeah, I think it was the owner. The owner is like, let's go for it. And I respect that. If I was an A's fan and Bob Melvin's got to be excited, Let's do it, you know.
Think about their rotation in a four-game, you know, a four-man rotation in the playoffs, right? So you got Lester with all of his playoff experience and his two rings, Sonny Gray, who's an up-and-coming star, and then you've got, you know, Samardzija and Hamill and Kazmir. So they've got an unbelievable rotation as well. Now, they took a little hit potentially on defense with losing Cespedes because you know, that rotation.
He's a good one. He's a home run derby champ, right?
Yeah. Johnny Gomes and Sam Fultz is not going to make up defensively for Cespedes with that big arm in left field. But I'll tell you what, it's setting up. I don't understand how anybody in the American League can think. I mean, maybe the Angels. I don't know. But who can think they can beat these guys in a seven-game series? It looks like
it's
a collision course between the A's
and Tigers.
And the Tigers. It's got to be.
And would you be upset if you were an Angels fan? Because they've been playing great baseball. They've really heated up. You know, their stars are stepping up. But they didn't make a move on a deadline. So you could criticize them because, honestly, Ray, I don't think they have enough pitching for the playoffs.
Well, you might, but I can't criticize Artie Moreno. He's spent so much money that he went out and got Pujols, and he went out and got Hamilton, and he went out and signed the big Mike Trout to his long-term contract. So, I mean, Artie's probably saying to his GM, look, slow down on spending my money. Let's see where this team goes.
So before we go to the – we'll still stay in the American League, but I just want to say the Brewers, what they did was they got my boy from out here, Parra. So they got Parra from the Diamondbacks. So I do like that move. I think that could be helpful. So staying in the American League, so we talk about the A's and Tigers. You're pulling hairs on – who got, you know, they both got number one starters, right? Lester and Price. I don't know. The one thing I would knock is maybe they could have got more. The A's, you know, giving up Cespedes, that's, I like him a lot. But I will say this, don't sleep on the Red Sox coming right back next year and being, you know, studs, because Lester, he's pretty loyal, and, yeah, he's on this ride now with the A's, but there's no reason that Boston can't re-sign him as a free agent next year. And then they would have to their team Alan Craig and Cespedes with Big Papi and the rest of the gangs, Pedroia. I love that. I love Alan Craig there.
You know, the Red Sox may have been sneaky in this whole deal with getting Lester back next year. And in return, they may have built him a much better team and a much more attractive team. And I think that, you know, anytime you can pick up an Alan Craig who's got the playoff experience, he's underachieving this year, but obviously he's got that
good hitter,
playoff experience.
Got the jewelry.
You can get out of Johnny Gomes' contract. You can bring back Cespedes. You only have him next year, but maybe you convince him to stay, or maybe you don't. Maybe you decide that money's better elsewhere. He's still on that initial contract when he came over from Cuba. So, quietly speaking, the Red Sox may have outfoxed everybody, right? They said, look, we're not going anywhere this year. If we can get something in return for Lester and reload, get out of Drew's contract because Drew wasn't working out for them, they get Middlebrooks back, they give him some more time, they develop Bogart, I'll tell you what, as a Yankee fan especially, I'm scared of the Red Sox right now. Yankees are underachieving on offense. They brought in a couple guys maybe that can spark them a little bit. But you know what? The foundation of the Red Sox looks pretty good. And if they
kind of bizarre, though. Let me ask you this. Don't you think it's kind of bizarre the Red Sox traded so much in the division? Because also to Baltimore, they also sent Andrew Miller. So they're making deals with the Orioles and the Yankees. That's fascinating to me.
You usually don't see that. GMs are scared that the traded player will come back and haunt them. But you know what? They did a salary dump, 2 years ago with Carl Crawford and Adrian Gonzalez, and that worked out great.
Brilliant. Yeah.
And now they're doing something similar, reloading, and maybe they're smarter than everybody. And they're saying you can't win every year, right? The Yankees won from 96 to 2000, they won 3 out of 4.
Four out of
5. but you can't do that consistently. So the Red Sox went ahead and said, well, maybe we like this. Win in 04, win in 07, win last year. So they read the tea leaves, made their moves, and they'll be raring to go next year.
So let's hype up the Yankee fans before we go to the National League. Yankees made some moves, but do you think in Jeter's last hurrah, they owed it to him to do a little bit more in terms of getting some pitchers? You get Steven Drew. You get another one of my guys out here from Diamondbacks, Martin Prado. Do you like Prado and Drew? And you know, we said Henley the other day at third base. Should they have gotten some pitching? What do you think about Prado?
I think he's a very solid player. He's been great for the Braves for many years. Very versatile. He's 30 years old. You think he's 50, but he's really only 30 years old. I like what the Yankees did. I just don't think the Yankees have enough firepower. I don't think they have enough oomph. Yeah, exactly. Bullets in the holster. They're missing something. It's funny because you would think with four out of the five starters down for the year, essentially. Why didn't they get Price?
Why didn't they go get David Price?
They tried. Cashman said he tried. So I don't know that the Rays were exacting a pound of flesh, but I think that the Rays would not have traded Price in the division. That's just my gut.
I guess they couldn't get Cliff Lee.
The Orioles, the Red Sox, the Yankees.
Yeah, they couldn't get Lee. That's the comedy of it all, right? I mean, talking to Yankees, you look at the National League, and everybody was waiting for the Phillies to dump somebody. They traded Nathan, nobody.
Well, we'll talk about that in a sec. But, yeah, Toronto, the Phillies, the Giants, these guys are all in playoff contention, or the Phillies aren't, but the other two are. And the Phillies have no future. I mean, they're looking like in 2015 everybody's going to be old and then put out the pasture. But back to the Yankees for a second. The Yankees are only 3-0, quote unquote, 3.5 out in the wild card. And they really are not poised to pass anybody ahead of them, in my opinion. I mean, they're looking up at Kansas City, Seattle, Toronto, and the Angels. And I can't say that the Yankees are better than any of those teams. I mean, maybe Kansas City, but I'm not sure Yankee fans are going to see Jeter in the playoffs this year. In fact, I predicted them to be out of the playoffs, and I'm sticking with that prediction. I mean, Martin Prado and Steven Drew are nice players, but you got to figure that Jeter's not going anywhere this year, right? So Drew's going to essentially play some short, backing up Jeter, play some second. Martin Prado may go to right field and get some more production because Ichiro's really hit the wall. But the Yankees pitching that's been down, by injury is actually doing far better than the hitting. It's the hitting.
Well, the young kids.
Nobody on that
good.
Team is batting 300. Nobody can carry that team for more than a game or two. So Carlos Beltran is not living up to his, last few years with St. Louis. Brian McCann can't hit.
Not consistently.
Kid from Ellsbury, the kid from Boston, is not living up to his $21 million contract. He's playing well, but he's not playing. They're batting him in the number three slot, right? You need more production out of your number three hitter. And Mark Teixeira just continues his slide. So where is the Yankees offense in the dog days of summer? Who's going to carry that team for a week, 10 days? Who's going to put them on their back? Who is the David Justice circa 98, 99 that's going to come over and really give them that spark? I don't think they have it, and it's not Mark Teixeira as much as I like him or Steven Drew. So for Yankee fans out there, I am very hesitant to start playoffs. It's not looking good.
Well, let's talk National League. What did you like from Dodgers? Didn't do anything. Giants didn't do anything. What did you think about? Let's look at the Cardinals. What do you think? What they did? They said teammates were upset that they traded
pitching.
Craig. Yeah.
Yeah. So they picked up pitching in Lackey and Masterson. I don't know. I like Alan Craig. I got to be honest with you. I like Alan Craig. But the Cardinals know what they're doing. So I can't really get too upset because, these guys have won recently and they know exactly what they're doing. They had high hopes for Joe Kelly. And I'm sure some in the organization were sad to see him go. But to get a John Lackey who, you know, has been up and down himself, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the net of that is, right?
But he's a veteran for the playoffs, though. That's the one thing about Lackey. You know, you would feel confident, I would, giving him the ball in the playoffs. He can get you a big win, you know. I think he can get
you. He's been there before, yeah. And as it stands right now, St. Louis is in the playoffs, right? But they also have to worry breathing down their neck, right, is
Pittsburgh
and
the
Cincinnati,
Braves. Yeah.
Right? So right now, they're fine, but Pittsburgh 1.5 games back and Cincinnati 3.5 games back. And if Cincinnati were to get Joey Votto back and get some production out of him and really hit their stride, St. Louis is their playoff spot is not locked, right? So
by no means.
They're looking over their shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, in the National League, the only one I would say that's probably locked for the wild card are the Giants, unless they collapse. I mean, we're basically at 50 games left, give or take a game or two here or there. And I think the Giants at 58-50, I think that, you know, they might have that number one wild card spot. I wouldn't say locked, but I think that they're looking pretty good for it. And the Cardinals and Pirates are right there at 57 wins. I guess my question for you is, could the Reds wake up? You know, 500 ball, 54-54. Had a lot of injuries this year, but I've been waiting for the Reds to wake up. Will it happen?
It might be too much. It might be too much to overcome. It just might be. I mean, they've got – and, you know, I hate when you have to climb multiple teams, right? It's one thing to be 3.5 back of the wild card, but it's quite another when you've got two teams ahead of you in your division. So
and you've got to battle the Braves.
Your division, So I think it's a little hard for them, Cincinnati. But you know what? They're in a decent position. And with the unbalanced schedule, right, they're going to play their destinies in their own hands, right? They're going to play St. Louis and Pittsburgh. They still have about 10 games with each of those teams. So you know what? If you're a Cincinnati fan, keep going to the ballpark because your team's still in it. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but you never know. Go Pirates. I'm rooting for my Pirates.
Yeah. So, okay, in the National League, anybody else? We talked about the Brewers getting par. Do you like that?
Yeah. You know, if you're Milwaukee, you're in a tough position. But, yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. They were big movers a couple years ago in the CC Sabathia, right? They rented him essentially for half a season and then never really followed up. Made a big splash, you know, in trade deadline free agency.
Right.
So they're figuring, you know what, we're up by 2 games over St. Louis, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati. So 2 games lead over St. Louis, 2.5 over Pittsburgh, and 5.5 over Cincinnati. So they're probably thinking, look, at worst we lose the division and get the wild card. With 49 wins, they're right now with the third best record in the National League. So I think they feel like they have enough. And maybe they do, but if you're a Brewer fan, you probably wanted to see them maybe make a bigger splash.
Right. Anybody else in the National League? I'm trying to think that made a, you know, we said Cardinals, Brewers.
Yeah, we talked about the Nationals. We talked about the Nationals bringing over Drubal Cabrera.
Right.
Having him play second. Zimmerman going down was tough for them, but they've moved Rendon across the diamond. A little bit disappointing in their pitching staff.
Right, and the Braves getting
yet to hit his stride. The Braves making moves, right? The Braves only a game and a half.
Strasburg is 1-7 on the road, Ray. Strasburg is struggling.
Yeah, I'm still a big fan of his. I think he's going to be fine. But 1-7 is 1-7, right? Like Bill Parcell said, your record you are what your record says you are.
Yeah,
so he can't fit on the road. That's what his record says. Atlanta's 1.5 games behind, you know. Atlanta's breathing down their neck. Those two teams are going to go down to the end.
Yeah. No, it should be a fun race. You know what? Let's transition. Let's take let's rock some beats, and let's come back and go around a little bit, talk a couple things before we get with the NFL and the Hall of Fame. Got some news and stuff in golf and basketball. Ray and Tay.
So we're back.
So
let me ask you this.
Are you shocked or surprised? Two things. Before we get to the golf and some of the news, let's talk a little hoops. Your boy Coach K is contemplating, you know, he's trying to get this roster together for the World FIBA Games. You know, you had guys drop out, Kevin Love and Griffin, you know, whatever. They bring Paul Millsap in and Plumlee. It's looking like Kyrie might make the team and all these other guys. Derrick Rose looks good again. But Plumlee might make it. Mason Plumlee might make it before DeMarcus Cousins or over DeMarcus Cousins. And I don't know if that means Drummond's going to make it, but if Cousins doesn't make this team, and I thought that he'd be a sure thing without Griffin and Love, that could really throw him in a tailspin. And is it actually a wise move? Because I think post scoring and length and athleticism and defense, you get that more from Cousins. And I'd actually playing against Spain in Spain, right? They're in Spain against both Gasol brothers and Ibaka. To me, I would take all of those guys. I would have Drummond, Cousins, and Plumlee. So what are your thoughts about what will happen with this U.S. squad?
Yeah, it's funny because Rose is playing great, so that's good to see that he looks like he's back. We'll talk about his tension with the Bulls a little bit. But I don't know that Coach K has ever really coached in international play or even at Duke, a dynamic center like DeMarcus Cousins. So I don't know if it's a head thing or if it's his game, if he'd rather just have an Andre Drummond type of player, so kind of a defensive guy who just grabs a lot of rebounds, runs the floor, maybe he'll give you 5-10 points on offense because there's so much star power, so much scoring on that team. So maybe he's thinking, you know, DeMarcus Cousins' reputation precedes him, and he doesn't want to deal with him off the – I mean, to me, he's obviously the most talented of all of those guys, and he should be a top three center in the NBA just because he's got all the skills you'd ever want. So I don't know if it's a Coach K thinking Mason Plumlee knows my system and he's easier to coach, or if he's saying, I have too many mouths to feed, I have too many guys, I only have one ball, and I have too many guys that are
perennial all-stars. Let me get some scrappy guys.
Yeah, and are 20-point
good attitude
scorers. So you never know what's going through Coach K's mind.
Yeah, no, you might be right. It'll be interesting. I don't know when the deadline is for they pick the final squad, but, you know, there'll be some games on NBA TV. They play Dominican Republic at Madison Square Garden soon and different things. So
we got to give credit to the Spurs, too, locking down Tony Parker, 3 years, $45 million. So they're keeping that team intact. So they're adding Kyle Anderson to that team that won the championship and basically was a Ray Allen, you know, miracle three away from being the two-time defending champs. So
yeah.
Spurs are they'll be right there next year in the playoffs.
Definitely. And there's, you know, there were some stories coming out in Chicago in the papers about Derrick Rose and Reinsdorf having some issues, you know, stemming all the way back to him sitting out the whole season, and he didn't recruit Melo because he didn't want to play with Melo. He wanted to play with Gasol. You know, listen, Derrick Rose, he's done the right thing. I think I would rather play with Gasol, too, if I'm Derrick Rose. I mean, to be honest with you, I like what the Bulls have done in the offseason, and I think they're going to be with McDermott and Mirotic. I mean, don't get me wrong. Anybody would, you know, Melo's great, but Derrick Rose is like, wait a minute, I can score, and I don't want this guy slowing down the offense. And Gasol is a great passing big man. So put Gasol with Noah and Gibson, and away the Bulls go.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting.
Hold on. We have a call.
All right.
Caller, you're on the air.
Oh, you got it. It's Tyler from New York.
Tyler, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good,
what's
man.
On your mind? Have you been traded?
Yeah.
Hmm? No, we didn't get
traded.
Trade deadline. We didn't know if you got traded. No, what's on your mind?
I was listening to the show earlier. I wanted to ask you something about the John Lester trade. All right, well, you were saying how they traded for Cespedes and maybe they have a plan to get Lester back, but do you really think that they want to give Lester the money that he most likely wants? Because, I mean, I wouldn't mind a team. I could see a team like my Yankees trying to go get him the next season.
So I think it's up to Lester, right? Is he going to give Boston a home team discount? He didn't give it to him now. He might enjoy Oakland. I don't think Billy Bean is going to give him the money, but he might chop himself around in free agency, see what the best offer is, and maybe give Boston a home team discount. All reports are that he likes Boston. Usually when you don't sign with a team, there's some animosity there. But I don't know, reading between the lines, he may think that Boston is not a great team this year. Maybe he wants to go win and then come back and give him a discount. But I hear you, though, that if the Yankees could get him, you know, he could basically be the replacement for CeCe Sabathia, right? Left-handed in Yankee Stadium, that would be fantastic.
The Yankees need a jump on him, Tyler, and that, you know, we're Yankee fans as well, so we'd love to see Lester there. I think he's got a good shot winning this year with Oakland, but I think you might be surprised that Boston, you know, they might up what they were saying, because I think after winning and then losing so bad this year, next year, imagine with Craig and Cespedes. I mean, they've made some pretty decent moves. Maybe Middlebrook starts to get better, and then, you know, we'll see what young pitchers they might have. But bringing Lester back might be part of their master plan. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, Yankees
Well,
definitely.
How are your Yankees – let's ask you that question. Do you think your Yankees are going to make the playoffs? Is Jeter going to spend his last season in the playoffs or out of the playoffs?
I've been thinking about this question a while. I mean, before the halfway point of the season, I remember thinking, oh, they're not going to make it. Then they started playing good. They had that wild card spot, and they lost it. But I think if – I mean, we need – I mean, I don't know if we're going to have any of our pitchers back. I know Pineda is looking like he'll come back, actually. I don't know what Tanaka's status is. But I think that the Yankees – I think they have a shot. I give them about a 60% chance of making. I really hope that they can.
Yeah, I do too. Look, they need to go ahead and sweep the Red Sox this weekend. You know, that's what we need to do. But I don't know if it's looking too good just because of the pitching. And we're not getting clutch hitting. Teixeira's not doing anything big. You know, Ray was talking about it all. Ellsbury, you know, give or take a game or two, he's off and on. Beltran, McCann. There's no consistent, like, you know, somebody's giving you that double off the left field wall and you know, bringing in those runs. So it's going to be tough, but it'll be sad.
And I think
either way, they end in Boston,
the pitching's
right?
Pitching's overachieved, too. I mean, think about it. We've gotten more out of our pitching staff than we should have, given that four of the five starters are out. And if Pineda comes back, I don't think they're going to mess around with Tanaka. I think they're going to shut him down and do rehab, or shut him down and cut him and do Tommy John surgery. But I don't know that he's coming back this year. So I have no problems with the pitching staff. I just think they are overachieved. So I think the last 50 games, they're not going to be as good as the first two-thirds of the season.
Right, and last thing I want to ask you guys real quick. I mean, I know they traded for Steven Drew, but I mean, what really does that help for the Yankees? I mean, Kelly Johnson versus Steven Drew trade doesn't really make much sense for either team, I guess. I mean, Kelly Johnson wasn't doing much, and he's on the DL. Like, Steven Drew is like a 170 something average. But what does that really do to the Yankees? Is it for next year to replace Jeter if he has a good end of the season?
It's an option for next year, and I think Brian Roberts was so terrible that they figured, even though numbers-wise Steven Drew isn't hitting, he hasn't gotten enough at-bats, I think that they feel that Steven Drew will play some second base this year, and then next year you get a built-in option for Jeter to transition to the next shortstop if it's not Steven Drew. So I think it's both. It's a little bit of getting rid of Roberts, getting younger, and having an option for next year with Jeter's backup. Or Jeter's backup this year, and then having the replacement for Jeter for next year.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for taking my call.
All right, have a great weekend, Tyler. Thanks for the call.
We'll talk to you Monday. Watch that Hall of Fame. We're excited.
All right.
All right, take care.
You too.
So, Ray, this is what's going on, man. Seven great guys on and off the field. I love this class. Whose speech, I mean, we know Strahan speaking last, and he's sort of, you know, I mean, Good Morning America, Kelly and Michael. I mean, gosh, this guy's amazing. But who, what speech are you dying to hear? And I got to tell you, the NFL Network last night did a little, you know, their road to Canton and did two specials on Ray Guy and Andre Reed. And those guys are amazing. Just amazing guys, men, their experience. I can't wait to hear those two. Who's your guy? Who do you want to listen to?
So let's remind everybody who it is, right? It's Aeneas Williams, Michael Strahan, Andre Reed, the big tackle, Walter Jones, Claude Humphrey, and Ray Guy, and your guy, the guy I want to hear the most, Derek Brooks.
Yeah.
The reason I want to hear Derek Brooks, well, first of all, he's a champion. So I always like to hear what the champion has to say, right? So he won his Super Bowl in 2002 with the
great linebacker.
But here's a guy who was a stud at Florida State and then was drafted, and they thought he was too small, and they put him on special teams, and they thought he was a situational linebacker, and eventually just kept getting better and better and dominating. And even on a team that had Rondé Barber and had Warren Sapp and had
Lynch and had other
great defensive players, this guy stood out. And he just every year got better and better and better and started dominating.
A tackling
like
machine.
He did at Florida State. And, you know, his personal story is very interesting, too. And he's got a lot to say about, you know, where he's come and from and what football's meant to him and in his life. So I've heard some of his story before, but I want him to tie it in a knot, and I'm looking forward to him talking and his speech at the, you know, on Saturday in Canton. What about you?
Yeah,
who's your guy?
I got to say, you know, I like Derek Brooks, too. Andre Reed, him and Ray Guy, obviously, you know, I kind of said those are my two guys. But, you know, I want to hear from Aeneas Williams in a way, too. You know, Cardinal, and did he play, I think, with the Rams as well? But Aeneas Williams, he was, like, quiet as kept, just maybe below Deion Sanders. Very underrated, and I think clear-cut Hall of Famer. And I don't know that much about Walter Jones, so I want to hear him too. But I think Aeneas Williams, the fans need to find out about this electric corner who just was so solid and, you know, kind of locked people down, big hits, turnovers. He was a great corner in the NFL. It's just he wasn't, you know, Deion. But Aeneas is very solid. It should be a good group. And obviously Strahan finishing it, yeah, and I can't wait for Derek Brooks. But Ray Guy, I got to tell you, he was giving me chills last night. Just seems like a humble, amazing guy. But you know what's fascinating about him? He was a star athlete, played quarterback, basketball, golf. He pitched 98 miles per hour, played pitcher. I mean, this guy was amazing and, you know, was recruited by Alabama, but he went to Southern Mississippi. So that should be fun.
Amazing. And again, with Ray Guy, I still, like we said on the last episode, got to give Al Davis credit. Nobody thought, and Al Davis, as much as he's made some bad ones, was a pioneer. And he drafted a punter in the first round, and that at that time was ridiculous. And he did it, and he said, you know what, field position is important.
That's right,
I like
special teams is important. Yeah.
But I also like to, you know, need to defend and make you drive a longer field. And special teams and punting is part of that. I'm drafting Ray Guy in the first round. He also drafted Sebastian Janikowski in the first round, a kicker 15, 20 years later.
That
was pretty crazy of him, you know, at that time in the 70s to draft Ray Guy in the first round. So good for him. And he, I hope Ray Guy mentions him in his speech. I'm sure he will. But just that notion of a kicker going number one was unheard of back then. Even to this day, is still a little unheard of. But Al Davis, give him, you know, that's a kudos to him.
Hey, a couple of real quick things. I got to say, Sergio Garcia is leading. He's minus 11 in the Bridgestone, Bridgestone, which is fascinating to me, Ray, real quick. Tigers won 8 of them. He's not doing too good today. But in the golf world. You know, we got to wish him well, but the golf has not been too transparent. Dustin Johnson has been suspended for 6 months and you know, was caught up with cocaine and marijuana, and it's happened a couple times. And Golf Digest released this to the media, not, you know, the PGA. So, you know, they've got to do a better job, because it seems like with team sports, we rip into guys and get on them, and we'll talk about Ray Rice in a quick minute. But it seems like the individual sports, you know, some guys, they get in trouble off the field or off the game and do some stuff, and they don't seem to get, you know, maligned for it. Real quick,
and
the commissioner kind of...
This is his fourth failed drug test, right? Two
yeah.
for cocaine and one for marijuana. Dustin Johnson has a problem. So
he
needs to take
yeah.
care of that, and he's, you know, he's young.
Dating Gretzky's
got a lot of...
daughter. Gretzky's daughter, so he better get it together before Gretzky hits him with
he's
the
only
stick.
30. He's got a lot of golf ahead of him, so he needs to take care of that off the, you know, off the course issues, and hopefully in 6 months he'll be much better.
Yeah, no, we wish him well. We wish him well. We don't, you know, listen. We don't hate on the show. We, you know, we try to talk the truth, but we don't hate. But look, Ray Rice, everybody's up in arms. John Stewart's talking about it, all the talk shows, the whole country. Everybody's got an opinion. Domestic violence, you know, look, nobody can't stand domestic violence. Ridiculous. No place in our world, society, and sports, nowhere for it, right? Ray Rice only suspended 2 games. You know, the commissioner today at the Hall of Fame, you know, he wasn't at the podium. He just sort of came out and the reporters, you know, surrounded him and he's addressed it. Some people criticize that. Look, I don't know what to say, right? Because how do you feed the fire and the media and the animals and what everybody wants? I think, you know, he looked at it in every angle and had more information than we did and, you know, spoke to the police and there were no charges and, you know, he's in counseling. And I think I like what he said in trying to – we're not trying to just punish. We're trying to rehabilitate, you know. And I think Whitlock said it on Pardon Interruption. You know, America, we're good at punishing. But, we punish very well, but we don't always rehabilitate and educate. And I think this could be a positive opportunity to improve for Ray as a husband, son-in-law, father, you know, son, you know, dad, husband, everything. So let's see. He said it was one and only time, and I'd like how he addressed it and apologized to his wife and did yada, 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 did all the stuff, spoke from his heart. So we'll see what happens, you know. But
I think his wife was his biggest advocate, right? If it weren't for his wife, he would have gotten 4 or 6 games out of money. My gut says that this was too little, so I'm actually on the side of the people that say that the dough was too soft. But you know what? The wife went with him to Goodell, and apparently together they made a great case. And they got married, so it's not like it wasn't a girlfriend
situation.
But, you
know, people say you should never, you know, it's sort of 101 in domestic violence that the abuser should never talk to the spouse's boss, not with, in front of the abuser, you know what I mean, the abusee. So, I don't know. I agree with you. It probably should have been more than 2 games. I don't know what I would have done, 4 or 6, you know, to be a little bit sterner, but solid citizen. You know, made one mistake, a horrible, egregious mistake. And I don't know if you know, Stephen A. got suspended off this for ESPN for a week.
I saw that, and he made an apology. I actually really liked his apology. I didn't hear what he said live after the fact, and then I heard his apology. He was very well spoken. They're going to think of it in his apology, and very sincere too. You know, from what I know from him, he was raised by women and talked to his mom and sisters and all the time. So he probably didn't choose the best wording in his initial statement.
Yeah.
But he's been suspended for a week, so I thought they took a stand there.
Yeah, no, listen, this is very serious. And, you know, we all know about OJ and just domestic violence. It's disgusting. Let's say this, though, on a positive note, the Hall of Fame game, Giants-Bills, should be fun Sunday night. Looks sad, like David Wilson might not ever play again. We'll see what happens.
That's horrible. A career that never got off the ground.
To him, man. And Jim Kelly will be there at the Hall of Fame fighting cancer. So there for his teammate Andre Reed. And Beast Mode is back in camp. He got, a million and a half. Doesn't have to pay the fines. They switched some money around. And
How
Beast
many
Mode
Skittles
is
that? How many Skittles
that
is that?
That is
like 10 million Skittles?
3 billion Skittles. Hey, everybody have a great weekend. Be safe out there. Enjoy the Hall of Fame. Some football's on our way, even though it's preseason. I can't wait, and we'll be back Monday, Ray and Tay, today.
Have a great weekend. We're
out. With friends.